Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hi, Deaconess.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well. Today, we will be discussing the sermon from Wednesday. So this Lent, we've been doing a special sermon series on the prodigal son. And each week, it's been focusing on a different aspect of this prodigal son parable. So can you tell us a little bit about what you were trying to focus on with the prodigal son on Wednesday?
For this past Wednesday's sermon, the kind of governing idea was to think about how we all approach the parable and what we bring with us, just individually or even just our larger context or the language I was using of social location from the resource I was looking at. We all bring things to the reading of the scriptures, and it affects our hearing and what stands out to us, and ultimately how do we each hear Jesus for us. And so with that idea in mind, I wanted to lean into Mark Allen Powell's book, What Do They Hear? Bridging the Gap Between Pulpit and Pew, because he spends a chapter speaking about the parable of the prodigal and the different hearings of the parable, depending on context for folks.
I really liked how you talked about how he had students from an American context that focused on one aspect of it. And then he was talking to students from St. Petersburg, Russia, right? And they were focusing on like a different aspect. Can you talk a little bit about that American versus Russian perspective?
Yeah. Powell, he's a professor over at Trinity Seminary, or was in the Columbus area here. And he was talking about how his American students would focus on the sin of the prodigal being his wastefulness or his rebelling against his father or the loose living sorts of stuff. And he contrasts that with the Russian students he ends up talking to, and they were more concerned about the attempt by the prodigal to be self-sufficient. Like, why would you leave your father's house? And let me read a little bit from his book that describes this. He says, I have not heard many American sermons that portray the prodigal as a famine victim. And this is a huge point that the Russian students overwhelmingly remember that there's a famine in the parable. And that's a really important thing for them that they recognize. We live in a world where there's famine. Famine does happen. Sufferings happen. Affliction happens. Why would you try to face these by yourself? And that was a big thing that formed the Russian students' answer of why would you leave the father's house? So let's see here. I have not heard many American sermons that portray the prodigal as a famine victim. More often, the story is regarded as a paradigm for repentance. You know, the boy comes to himself and determines to go home telling his father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Perhaps then the famine gets ignored because it's not the boy's fault. And most sermons that I have heard on this text want to be clear that the boy's downfall was his own doing. He wasn't just a victim of bad luck. He went from riches to rags because of his own irresponsible behavior. And so I tried that out on the Russian students. Aren't we supposed to think that the boy did something wrong? Of course, they told me. But the boy's mistake was not how he spent his money or how he lost it. His mistake was leaving his father's house in the first place. His sin was placing a price tag on the value of his family, thinking that money was all he needed from them. Once he had his share of the family fortune, the family itself no longer mattered. In a phrase, his sin was wanting to be self-sufficient. I told them about the American students, and this prompted further discussion. How revealing it is that Americans think the great sin was wasting money. They think this because money is very important to them. In a capitalist country, it must be a very bad thing to squander one's inheritance. But in a socialist state, the sin is self-sufficiency. This boy's sin was that he wanted to make it in the world on his own. He trusted in his finances and in his own sense of rugged individualism. And he figured that would be enough to get by. And who knows, he might have made it if not for the famine. But that's what happens, Jesus says. Famines do come. And in a world where there are famines, and factory closings, and automobile accidents, and medical emergencies, only a fool would want to be alone. So that's Powell's interaction with the Russian students, and by contrast to the American students. And he does have one other group of students he talks with from Tanzania. But again, I appreciate Powell's opening our sort of perspective, think of how we all approach a parable or approach a reading from Scripture, and we bring our context with us, and it shapes our hearing and reading of it.
I wonder if the older son's response wasn't in the parable. So he said that his brother had wasted his money on with prostitutes and wasteful living. Like, I wonder if that wasn't in there, if, I don't know, if Americans, if we would read it in a way, like if he didn't waste the money and he tried to invest it or whatnot, I don't know if we'd look at the prodigal son a little bit differently. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
No, I think that's fair. And Paul brings this up early in the chapter. Let me just highlight from the parable itself. Let's see. Luke 15. Yeah, Luke 15, verse 13. So, you know, the father divides the property. Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And that little phrase, reckless living.
Okay, so it said reckless living. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of translational tradition and all that. But what you're bringing up is at the end of the parable, you have the elder son outside in the darkness talking to the father. And this is where you get that detail of, let's see here. Verse 30, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, who killed the fattened calf for him. And Paul's point is just to remind us that, where do you find out this idea about prostitutes? And you get it from, if you will, not the most objective source, right? You get it from the angry elder brother who is full of jealousy and disgust with his father's generosity. And yet we sort of just take that at face value. And it's just a nice reminder of kind of reading the whole parable in context, but even just the different scenes in their context and what those characters are bringing to the situation.
We can't really avoid bringing our baggage, if you will, in when we read Scripture, right? So is it wrong to kind of approach it that way, if looking at it from either perspective, or is it just good for us to maybe keep in mind that this is how we can approach Scripture?
Yeah, and that's one of the themes of that Wednesday, is just a reminder that we do bring ourselves to the reading of the Scriptures.
I don't think you said it was bad for us to do that.
No, but it's good to recognize what is forming our hearing of the Scriptures, what stands out to us, and also how do we hear these words of God as words of God for me, centered in Christ, and how does my neighbor from a different social location and context hear these words of God for him or for her? And that's just part of the reality of the Scriptures. And that's why I kind of tied in with the Romans reading of the how will they hear without someone preaching to them, and this idea of the proclaimers being sent out, but that's all rooted in the same message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. But no matter where this good news is taken to the ends of the earth, it is the good news for the whole world. But this just goes back to our ongoing sort of questions here in our podcast. And what's our central idea? How do you want to benefit your hearers and their faith in life? You know, why does this matter here and now? And yeah, that just is the case with all of preaching.
And that affects how you preach on Sundays. You're not just preaching to a generic, like just everyone in the world. No, you've been called to preach to the people at St. John who live here in Dublin, who are, you know, and as you've, you know, been here almost 9 years, just learning who those people are, and that shapes your preaching tremendously.
Yeah, and this is even just something I remember back at seminary. You would get different moments of, I'm just going to give you some advice. And one of those ongoing pieces of advice that many of the professors would bring up is, don't just stay at your call for like 3 years. You know, there are some folks that will can bounce around, and there's just various situations and reason for, you know, movement with calls. But there's something to staying at a congregation for a while because you learn to preach better to them. You know, you live more life together with them. You live more in this area, in this context, and that does matter. I think even just on a level here at St. John, working with the vicars is a very interesting proposition, because, I mean, they're still students, and we kind of port them over here for a year. And as you see them grow over the year, you start to see better and better connection in their sermons. But there's a difference in what 12 months is versus, you know, 5 years or 10 years or 20 years of the congregation. You know, there's something to that.
So going back to your sermon, one part that I really liked was your, like, you took out the phrase that the father had said to the, I believe it was to the older son, "All that is mine is yours." So this message of "all that is mine is yours," it's not only for the Americans, the Russians, and the Tanzanians, but it's also for us, for everyone who reads that. And so maybe how we hear that gospel message of "all that is mine is yours," we'll kind of hear it in our context too. So it might mean something a little different for each of us.
Yeah, and yeah, in the Tanzanians, they were focused on just, why did the wider society abandon this guy? No one helped him. It's an indictment on the community. And so you kind of have these three different takes, and then whatever we are all individually bringing to the reading of the parable, I wanted to ground my gospel proclamation in a repeated idea, a repeated phrase, no matter who I was speaking to. And I really liked the father's expression, "All that is mine is yours." He speaks those words to the elder brother. He enacts those words with his younger son earlier in the day when he welcomes him home. And that's the whole point of, no matter where this gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, it is the same gospel for the whole world. But how it is gospel, how it is specifically good news, or as we might say, how is Jesus the medicine for this situation, in this diagnosis, in this disease? That's kind of the point. And so that was kind of fun to think through, okay, what, you know, how do I use the father's words here? And then how, what would be a word of gospel for the American students that Paul brings up, or for the Russian or the Tanzanian? And then what's gospel for the people in the pews that sat in the historic sanctuary that night? And that's just part of the joy of preaching, is how do I bring Jesus to this moment? How do I get to share his good news for here, right now, in this present time?
Yeah, and that, I love that. That's exactly how you ended the sermon. Just bringing us back to this moment in this location. All that is mine is yours, meaning God gives us his only son. So yeah, I think it was really interesting. So definitely not something I had thought of before when I had approached this parable.
And I'll share a little inside information, Deaconess. This idea from Mark Allen Powell was one of the big reasons why I wanted to do this prodigal series with the congregation. Was, I remember stumbling across this idea a few years ago, and we had read Nouwen's book on for our staff devotions at some point, and just kind of cobbling these ideas together. You know, how do we spend time in the same scripture text, and what can we draw from it each week?
This wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon is in the show notes. You can also find the sermon on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
And also, if you listen to the end of the sermon, you'll hear a recording of Deaconess read the parable in Russian. So make sure you listen, everyone.
Oh my God. All right. Take care, you guys. Bye.
Bye.